Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for the show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
If you were looking for righteous man, then you know I wouldn't stand a chance. But you said you wanted sinners, so here I am. If you were looking for a worthy man, then you know I wouldn't stand a chance. But you said you wanted me, so here I am. And thank you, God, for love I don't deserve. And thank you, God, for love I don't deserve. And thank you, God, for love I don't deserve. And thank you, God, for love I did not earn.
Okay, y'all hearing some good preaching?
Yeah.
I'm going to see what I can do here. Now, in the Old Testament, can I start in the Old Testament?
Yeah.
God said, I'm going to put a new king in charge. And he sent a prophet to the town. And the prophet's going to tell them how it is and how it goes and what's up. So this prophet comes to town, and what happens is the people came out and said, who's in trouble? Because that's in those days, if the prophet came to see you, somebody was in trouble. Are you coming in peace, or is somebody about to get chewed out? Okay. And he said, no, I'm here for a good reason. I'm here because I'm going to pick the new king, and the king is going to be one of your sons. And the direct descendant from that son of yours is going to be Jesus Christ. Wow. And the prophet's standing there talking with, and this brother's man, his name is Jesse, and he's talking to Jesse. He says, one of your sons is going to be king. And then here comes this big dude right here. Now, who's that? Well, that's one of my sons. He's the oldest. He's the tallest. He's the handsomest. He's the most amazing. And Jesse says, well, that must be him. And the Lord spoke to him and said, that ain't him. He said, well, move on. Get out of the way. Who else we got? Here come another one. Big, tall, handsome. And he says, well, this must be it. And the Lord spoke to him and said, no, that ain't him. And we kept going. Kept going, and we got to the end. There's nobody left. And so the prophet said to Jesse, Samuel is the prophet's name, he says, Jesse, what? You got to have some more sons. Either that, or you're going to have to go make some more, which is a whole different mission. I'm adding a little. You understand? Okay. I'm just trying to explain it. So the father says, no, I've got one more, but he's the little young one out taking care of the sheep. We make him do all the work, you know. We kick back. And Samuel said, go get him. And David come up, and he's only, you know. And Samuel said, well, I guess it can't be him now. What are we? And you know what the Lord said? This is what the Lord said right here.
Yeah.
But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height. And he's talking about the good-looking ones now, because I have rejected him. And then he's talking about David. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance. But the Lord looks at what? The heart. That's the thing. The Lord looks at the heart. If we can keep this in mind, we're going to do fine with this topic. But we have to work hard to keep this in mind. Now here's why. Because what we're talking about here is we're trying to respect what God respects. If I can respect what God respects, then I can respect myself if I got some of that going on, right?
Yeah.
If I see something in you that I know God respects, then I can respect you.
Yeah.
So it's all going to work out. But we need to know, what does God respect? Well, now, I went to the jailhouse once. I'm going to tell you this story. I went to the jailhouse and I said to these brothers, I don't know if y'all ever encountered a Christian like that, like this, but sometimes you meet somebody and they want to start preaching to you right away. They're going to just, they got a word for you, whether you really ask for it or not at all. And these brothers were trying to preach to me. I said, okay, if y'all want to preach to me, I'm going to sit back and I want y'all to answer my first question here. What is it if God could walk through these doors and sit down here in this little circle? We're all sitting in a circle right there on the deck. And I said, what would be the first thing he would tell you about who you are and what you're doing? What would be his first command? And the main dude, you know, put his chest out. You got to put your chest out. And he said, obey. Obey. And he said it so proud, everybody else was like, yep. Yep. That one. Yes. Obey. Now, what does this verse say? Does it say the Lord, go back now, don't jump the gun for heaven's sake. I'm trying to keep it together. People, don't laugh over there either. It says, but the Lord looks at the heart. You're talking about behaving right. You're talking about performing right. You're talking about showing up and showing out and all those things. And all that's fine. Obeying is fine. But obeying is what happens when your heart is in the right place. You got it backwards, people. You say obey. I got to obey. I got to obey before anything. Obey, 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 obey. I go to church, they say obey. I got to come home, I'm saying obey. But the Lord looks at your heart. There's some people in this room, you know, and I'm going to tell this about you, and you're going to feel the truth of this when I say it. There's some people in here have all kinds of problems obeying, but you do have the heart. The obeying doesn't happen with a lot of consistency. It's not pretty. It's not organized yet. Okay? But it's something. But you have the heart. If you've got the heart, we can work with that. If you don't have a heart, I can't do anything with that. Okay? Now I'm gonna tell you this story. We're, you know, upstairs we take all the, you know, the crumb snatchers and the children's and we put them up there, you know. And so they're not down here because that's where I want them to be. So, and Jane takes care of them, and I don't know what she does with them, and I don't need to know. I just need to know they're not down here driving us crazy. Well, now, I would go up there, and there's a child. There's a child up there, and we're not going to name any names because we got mothers down here. Oh, but I'm going to tell the story anyway. This child, you go up there, and I'm talking about buck wild. I'm talking about, do we need to lay hands on him and cast something out? Because, I mean, and never getting slowing down, never being tired of it, just running and screaming and whatever, whatever. And then this, I went up there, and yeah, I go up there, and everybody's exhausted from this one child that's this tall. Okay? But I went up there 1 week. And there was we had these bins, so we put the toys in the bins. And this child said to himself, I'm going to do something. And he grabbed a hold of the side of that bin. Now, the bin's as big as he is. And he's leaning against it as hard as he can to try and push p- push this bin to put it away, to put it in the closet. Now, one of the volunteers, you understand, some church folk now, stopped him and said, "Wait, you're putting it in the wrong closet." And I said, "Hold everything. Wait a second. This child finally wants to do something right." Finally. Everybody shut up. And I told him, "You go on ahead. You put that wherever you want to put it. It don't matter. You doing something. You in church and you doing something. That's all we need. That's all we need. I can fix this. I can tell them what closet goes in next week. We can deal with that. You know, this week, just let's enjoy something good is finally happening. Okay? And you have to give yourself that same break. You follow what I'm saying? You're trying something now, aren't you? You're here. You're here. You like that little child. You're here. You're in the building. You're trying something. That's all God cares about. God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. He looks and sees your heart and says, "Well, you know, it may be, you know, it may not be, you know, highly sophisticated, but he's trying something." God respects people who are sold out.
Yeah.
He really does.
Yes, sir.
He respects people who make sacrifices to help other people. He respects that. God respects people who have faith, that exercise that faith, where they step out in that faith. I'm talking about this room can handle this list of things. If I told this room full of people, we all got to obey and behave ourselves because an inspector is going to come in here and find out whether we're Christian or not, and we have to act right, we'd have a struggle in here. And I'm pointing a finger at myself. I mean, you know. But we can, and here's another thing the Lord respects. He respects people who are real and honest. God respects that. He respects that. God would rather hear a word from you where you are raw and real and just told him, "Lord, I don't know where you were when this thing happened to me. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it another day. Lord, I don't know how I'm supposed to do these things that you're telling me to do." He would rather hear all of that than anything fake. Because it's about the heart. We got to be real. There's no heart if we're just acting out the motions, but there's no heart to it. This room has the heart, and that's why I'm preaching this message to give you that encouragement. This is my last story. Now, there's a Jesus is preaching somewhere in he's been preaching a long time. Everybody's hanging out. There's nobody can have any food because we've been in the same place for a long time. And so they said, his posse there, his group said, "We got to send all these people home so they can all get something to eat." And he says, "Well, why don't you give them something to eat? How about that?" And they look at, you know, I don't have any food. I don't have any money. I don't have any solution to this problem. I'm just telling the problem to the person in charge. Isn't that what church folk do? Just, oh, the pastors love that, didn't they? Oh. And so they're having this discussion, you know, back and forth. And there's a little bit of tension to that. And Jesus is trying to illustrate something. But here's what happened. A little kid came up. He got him a sack lunch. Now he's got some loaves of bread in there. He got some fishes in there. You know, he said to Jesus, he said, "Well, now, Jesus, you can have this here. Now, if you were one of those, you know, church folk hanging around commenting on that, you might not think that was a very big contribution. You might think that's kind of a joke, you know? But you know what the Bible says Jesus did? The Bible says he took that, and what did he do? He prayed. He said, "Lord, thank you for this sack lunch. Thank you, Lord, for this boy here and this sack lunch. Thank you. This is a blessing. This is important. Thank you for the sacrifice." He had almost no food. Now he's got none. He give it to me. Now he took those loaves and those fishes, and you know he fed all 5,000 of those people with it. just like these pastors were telling you, God could do something with you. You don't know what you could do with it. You don't imagine how it would be make any contribution, but God can do something with it because it's about the heart. I'm going to quote this same verse we've seen already. One of these religious leaders asked the teacher, what's the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said, love the Lord. Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's about the heart. Y'all feel that?
Yes.
God bless you. We love you. Thank you. Thank you.
Forsakes me!